What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's Brian and Nick here to dive through the Week 7 preview. How you doing, man?
Doing fantastic, brother. I did have to wait an extra half hour for you to pop on, so I'm ready to go. I've been ready to go for a bit here, but ready to take on Bi-Mageddon, Bi-Apocalypse, whatever you want to call it. I'm pumped for this week. I feel like this brings up a lot of trade value, and I actively am making trade offers pretty much every day. So this is like my favorite time of the season.
Right. Yeah. You folks, what may be hurting you isn't hurting us as much. We got three less games to go through. This is going to be nice. I'm excited. And of course, you're always so well prepped. I had to give you those extra 30 minutes to do what I couldn't do. So hopefully he brings all the...
So kind.
Right now. Give me a few games. We'll see if it still continues.
Yeah. I'm ready to battle here.
Nice. Folks, first time listening to the episode, as we go through our preview, we throw 3 minutes up on that clock, and we're going to go through each and every game, starting with the Sunday 1 o'clock, making it all the way through the one Monday night game this week. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and we will never stick to the three-minute timer.
No. We thought about extending it, but that probably just means we'd extend it past that timer after the buzzer. So 3 minutes is all we need.
Listening to it. Oh, we have three less games this week, so it'll probably still be the same amount of time. But
well, let's get it rocking and rolling here without any further ado. We've got the 1-6 Dolphins taking on the 3-3 Falcons in this 44.5-point over-under. Atlanta's a 7.5-point favorite in this one. I mean, we've got Tua on one side, Penix on the other. Penix is Jekyll and Hyde.
This is your dream matchup of two left-handed quarterbacks. That's what I want
again,
to start with.
We already had this. We got this last week. Again. Goodness.
Yeah.
I don't want to play either one of these guys.
No, I was going to say QB2s at best.
100%. Like, I mean, would you be going Rodgers in his revenge game over these two?
Maybe. Not as good of a matchup, but probably probably higher upside than either of them.
Yeah, Penix, it's a good matchup. Miami bleeds points. He's way better at home. I mean, Bijan and Algier might take care of this game, so I don't know if we need the quarterbacks in this one.
Yeah, Bijan's got to be the number one running back on the week. Algier is a solid flex play. If you're looking for pretty decent floor, he's been getting some significant touches there, so I'm interested in Algier.
Algier or Woody Marks?
Probably Algier. But that's got to be pretty close.
Yeah, it's right in that same tier. Definitely in the same tier, just outside of the like high-end RB3 kind of.
The only thing about Bijan, they might be able to rest him at some point. You know, you might get a Kyle Manungai, Breshard Smith sort of thing. So Algier could see more touches in the second half. But anyway, we got a timer to adhere to here.
Devon Achane, easy plug and play, despite there being not much else inspiring on that offense.
Yeah. London is in all the time. Waddle matches up pretty well in this game and should see a significant amount of targets. No Waller on the field, no Tyreek. So, you know, it's kind of the same story we've seen for years. Should be fantastic. We'll see.
In this Bi-Mageddon, we've got Darnell Mooney. Look, it's not been the highest of highs, but he's been consistent. Like, when he's out there, he's getting work. He's getting targets. Are you willing to put him out there this week?
I think as a wide receiver 3, if you need somebody, again, I'm a little afraid of the game script, but this is a very pro Mooney podcast. We've been doing this for years, so we're always a little bit in, but he's seeing targets. I think Pitts, I maybe like a little bit more, but Mooney, like as a play on the team, but Mooney does seem to eat into his target share whenever he's back on the field.
It is National Tight End Week this week, so maybe Pitts is the pivot over Mooney.
Yeah, and we just have to do it before Mario comes back next week because he would be ripping us apart for even mentioning Pitt's name.
Yep, he's not liking it. End of his marriage sabbatical. He'll be back on the show next week with us. You said we're playing Waddle. Waller's going to IR, so I think that's kind of it. Like, there's not a whole lot of pieces over here in this offense that we want.
No, pretty straightforward, I think. I do think Waddle's a good play. You know, he's got to see 7-8 targets, and the game script is in their favor.
Yeah, limited practice, but again, he's
been limited in practice for like 5 years.
That's true, too.
Like, what are you going to do?
Atlanta's got 7.5 points on them. Do they get it?
Yes. Atlanta at home has been pretty dominant in that run game. I just think it's going to destroy Miami. I don't think they're going to have any answer. Also, the Falcons' defense outside of like one game has been pretty dominant as well. And Tua's got six interceptions the last 2 weeks. This offense just looks like it's falling apart.
Yeah, Falcons are one of my favorite defensive streamers this week. Just low-owned defense, something you can get for you.
I wouldn't be surprised if some garbage time points and it ends up at 7, though, for the spread. But I do think that it's going to be pretty close to that.
I'll take that risk, because if that happens, that means Waddle was good. So
yeah, that's probably Waddle who scored.
If I've got to fall on my sword on that defense, let's make it happen. 4-2 Bears visiting the 1-5 Ravens. Is that a typo? Nope, 1-5 Ravens.
I love 49, this game.
49-point over-under. Baltimore's favored by 6.5, which it's got to feel like a good nod that Lamar Jackson's playing this week, despite him having limited practices again on Thursday. He'll be out 3 weeks now, just with the bye in the prior two games. They're if they lose another game the next month, they're done. Like I just don't see them making it happen.
Yeah, you got to think they come in pretty motivated to this game. People saying John Harbaugh's on the chopping block here, like that is not. I don't think that's a real thing at all. He's been too good for too long, and another team would scoop him up in a heartbeat. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, Lamar, this betting line tells us that Lamar is playing if the Ravens are 1-5 and favored by 6.5. So you're like playing. Yeah, go for it.
I like a bounce back game for Caleb Williams. The running game absolutely dominated last week, and you can toss the rock on the Baltimore Ravens, especially the deep ball. So I like to see him bounce back this week as well.
Yep, completely agree. I've got him going in my home league, so I sure hope you're right. And we've been talking about them for the next 2 weeks because I believe they have the Bengals next week, as pretty much all the Bears offense is buys. Just kind of underperforming the last few weeks. But Ravens have been able to be pretty successfully passed on all year. Looks like their secondary might be getting a little better coming out of the bye, or a little more healthy, I should say. But even when they were healthy, teams were still having some success. So I'm in on Chicago this week and all the pass catchers.
Running backs here, we've got Derrick Henry. We got a 100-yard game finally from him the game right before they hit the bye week. So he's going to be back in your lineups. DeAndre Swift, 100 yards and a touchdown in the last two games. He's been a top six back for you. Kyle Manunga is going to be where the question, I think, lies.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people are going to start him, but we talked about this early in the week, but a lot of his touches came when the game was already 20-0. 10 of his 13 touches came after that point. So to me, it's Swift. This game script tells us that they're going to be probably losing, which means Swift is the better receiving back. I don't really see Manunga being involved in the game too much unless he gets some early touches, but we haven't seen that at all this year. So to me, it's Swift or bust.
Woody Marks or Kyle Manunga?
Marks.
Rashard Smith or Kyle Manunga?
Probably Rashard Smith. He also had blowout touches last week, but they might be in the exact same game script this week. So
yeah, right there with you. As far as the wide receivers, Zay Flowers is kind of a screaming grab for me going forward. Totally. They're going to need to score points. This defense is eh.
Zay is a great buy low right now. Chicago uses a ton of single high safety, and that's where Zay Flowers pretty much excels on this team.
Udunze, back-to-back. You have to. After this week, we can put him as a start sit question, but like he's still an auto start for me, especially in Bipocalypse.
Yeah, you shouldn't even be considering it. He should be in. He's got that upside. Last week, we understand why this passing game really had nothing going, but they're going to be much more in a passing game script this week. So, especially DJ Moore has been limited. Komet hasn't been practicing. So the real one I want to talk about there is Loveland, a rookie tight end, drafted a few picks right before Tyler Warren this year and seemingly into the better situation, at least at that time. But if Komet is out and you need a tight end, Loveland is about as high upside as you could possibly have for a streaming situation. So I would grab him even if you just have space on your bench and for some reason he's on your waiver, then he should be carried as a backup for sure.
Yeah, if you don't have those easy start studs when it comes to tight end, I want athleticism. You either want touchdowns or you want athleticism, and he might be in the possibility of falling into both of those categories. Mark Andrews, I don't really want to advocate for it, but I've been treating him as a gut call. I got a weird feeling in the gut he might be involved enough. Isaiah Likely is also coming back in this game, so maybe you just want to fade them both.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that because I've been more pro Andrews than you this year. But I've always said when Likely comes back, I'm pretty much out on both. But I love Likely's future if he can come back healthy. And next year, I assume Andrews will be gone. So he should be the guy.
Who wins it?
I'm going to go Ravens. I feel like you just see these well-coached teams. They come out of a bye. Bears defense is kind of miserable. If Lamar is healthy, then I think this team could get rolling a bit again.
And they took the ping pong table away, folks. Baltimore's not messing around. They took the ping pong table.
I didn't even know about that.
They took it out of the locker room.
Well, we better play some bets.
Yeah. They said finish your broccoli or you don't get to play ping pong.
Yeah, no dessert for you.
Stupid. That's the only reason that would make me think, oh, is Harbaugh really losing a grip on a spot? Like, come on, dude. When have we ever seen the ping pong table thing work?
It shouldn't be the deciding factor, that's for sure.
Absolutely not. 4-2 Bills going to Carolina to take on the 4-3 Panthers. 4-2 Panthers, or 4-3 Panthers. Crazy. 46.5-point over under. Buffalo's favored by 7.5 points in this one. Josh Allen, he's going to be the easy start. Andy Dalton, does he fall into that startable category for you?
No, I don't trust it. If you need a QB2, if you're playing a super flex, then definitely in consideration. But one QB leagues, he's not on my radar.
Yeah, right there with you. These running backs, James Cook, he's in. What are we doing on the other side? We've got Rico Dowdle. We got Chuba Hubbard started the first drive. Rico Dowdle got the second drive. And after that, it was 50-50. You can run on the Bills, though.
Yeah, Bills have not been able to stop the run at all. Kind of like Baltimore, though, it seems like their defensive line might be getting a little healthier coming out of the bye. I've got Rico definitely ahead of Chuba, but this looks like it's going to be a 60-40 split one way or another, given the hot hand. You got to think Rico gets some more touches, and both are decent pass catchers, but I kind of give the nod to Rico there. So with the game script, I got to lean Rico over Chuba, but I think they're both startable.
Especially this week, I think it makes a lot easier decision. Again, give us a little bit more data second week. But if you are one of those teams that has both of them, you know, you picked up Rico, I'm playing him over. Going to the wide receivers, McMillan's the easy start.
Totally.
We've got Palmer out for this game. So Leggett coming off an 11 targets, 9 receptions. Are you playing, if you got to dig deep here, are you playing Leggett or Shakira Coleman? Like, if you had to rank those three.
Shakir, man, Coleman and Leggett. Leggett had 9 first read targets last week, but you know, like 0 in his career before then. So I'd probably still go Coleman. I feel like I've just seen it a few more times, but man, neither one has that instills any confidence.
The game script makes me think that they may not need that big bomb that you're going to get from Coleman.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And with Andy Dalton, just who knows what would happen. I think I would play Leggett over the other two, but that's purely because the other two are putrid and not because I have any real hope in Leggett.
Yeah, the plus 7.5 line actually makes me think that Dalton's going to have to throw the ball 40 to 50 times, where the Bills just might pound and control the clock in the second half. So Coleman, you're right, probably not going to be as necessary. And Shakir's just going to see great PPR wide receiver 3 pretty much every week.
We say that now, and Coleman's going to have a busted 80-yard touchdown because of this.
Yeah, that stuff happens. What are you going to do?
Dalton Kincaid, I have not loved what I've seen from his metrics all season, but you can't bench him.
But your metrics are just playing time. But the thing is, he's getting less playing time, but when he's on the field, he's getting the ball. So it's kind of like with some of these running back rotations where they're like, he is more explosive when he has less touches. It was like Tony Pollard behind Zeke all that time, where they like refuse to have him play more than 40% of snaps because they're like his efficiency goes down significantly. So if he keeps performing, and Buffalo's offense didn't look nearly as good without him the week before the bye, so I don't know, hard to sit, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. Who wins it?
Buffalo, and I would take the spread. I think they're like Baltimore. They're going to come out hungry because they've had a few bad games.
Yeah, I'd agree. After that stinker that we got from the Falcons, yeah, definitely the case. Oh, my goodness. We got some help here for tonight, folks. We got a third one in the house.
A guest podcaster. This is Caribou the puppy.
Caribou, nice. You know what's not nice? the Ben Gay Bowl we're about to have to watch again. What in the world? Like, I thought we were done watching these two play. 0-7 Jets going to Cincinnati, taking on the 3-4 Bengals. The line's 44.5. Cincinnati's favored by 6.5 going into this one. I think Joe Flacco is playable. Tyrod, if he had Garrett Wilson, I think I might sniff at it a bit, but not right now.
You're not sniffing, though?
No.
Pinching
the nose. Pinching the nose on that.
Pinch the nose, I like it. Yeah, Garrett Wilson likely out. The only one, well, I shouldn't say the only one, but I'm pretty high on Breece this week. I feel like he's just kind of underperformed because of this team all season. RB25 in points per game, but first an explosive run rate. Hard to kind of combine those things, and you have to think something's got to give at some point. But he's game script proof. If he's on the field and healthy, he's going to see targets as well, even if they're losing, since he's allowing the sixth most rush yards per game. So he's definitely still on the buy list for me, especially given the trade rumors. Like, they would just be out of their minds not to trade him for whatever they can get at this point. So
that's ridiculous.
You have to think the situation's going to get better.
On the other side, Chase Brown. We finally had a playable game from him. You know, RB17 last week, only had 11 points, but we got 108 yards on the ground. Joe Flacco's helping him out a bit. So I'm willing to put him out there.
Yeah, it could have been a bigger day, too. He actually dropped not a screen pass, but kind of a dump off where he had probably 20 yards of free space there, and he doesn't normally do that. But I've been advocating for Chase Brown the last 2 weeks. Chase Brown and T. Higgins, I said on my buys, on our Monday show. And I think Jets they've been underperforming in pretty much every category. So I think Brown, his schedule moving forward is fantastic. And I still look at him as a buy if somebody's trying to get out on cheap. But yeah, he's involved in the pass game and the rush game. So they've got a 25 team implied point total and they're favorites, which is going to be rare probably for the Bengals. So yeah, I'm still in.
Nice. For the receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, easy plays for you. I was trying to find players that maybe you would play over T. Higgins. No, there's no one we're considering. Like,
no, and if Sauce is playing too, then they might lean towards T if he's one-on-one with Ja'Marr Chase on the other side. Not that you're worried about Ja'Marr Chase no matter what, but T is a big red zone target. And Flacco's going to be firing the ball all game long. So
yeah, 23 targets last week for Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I keep thinking that's not real, but yeah, it is. Yeah, Sauce Gardner with the concussion last week, so there's a chance he misses. Fingers crossed, folks. I would love that to happen. What's up?
You're rooting for the concussion?
I'm rooting for him to take care of his brain and sit out another week.
Yeah, I agree. Especially in a meaningless game for this team.
Every game this season is meaningless, except week 18 when they play the Bills, the backup Bills. I think that's their only shot this year at winning a game.
There's always a team that ruins their number one draft pick, and I hope it's the Jets.
Yeah, I completely see it. Honestly, Noah Fant, I think, is more enticing than any of the pass catchers for the Jets.
I knew you would say that, and I have in my notes, Noah Fant in parentheses, Brian will never quit.
It's... Look, it's National Tight End Week, man. Come on.
Ready.
We got to lean into it. Now, I'm not nope. forcing the start. I think there's actually guys that I like, but he's like tight end 14-ish for me.
Yeah, if you're in like a three tight end league, he's perfect. Did we talk Mason Taylor?
Do you want to?
Not really, but I will say since he's got has allowed the most receiving yards and points per game to tight ends. So I don't really like it without Garrett Wilson on the field no matter what, but somebody's got to see targets on this offense outside of Breece Hall.
I agree. Who wins it?
I'm going to go Bengals at home. I just think, like, I assume it's going to be Tyrod. Also, Aaron Glenn being like, I'm not going to tell them who's the starter. Like, whatever, dude. Between all your backup quarterbacks you have on your roster, like, nobody's worried about that.
It's because he doesn't know. He's waiting for the owner to tell him which guy to start.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's true. And the owner has already made that decision, and it's Tyrod.
Yeah, it's getting toxic there in New York. And Aaron Rodgers is even a part of it. Wild. Next up, we have, I don't know how, but the 5-2 49ers, they've got more Band-Aids than players on this team. They're playing the 2-4 Texans, 41.5 point over-under. Texans are favored by 2. It opened up with San Francisco favored by 1.5. I imagine that's with the news that we're getting Mac Jones again starting, but I was pretty surprised by that.
Yeah, I am too. And we talked about Shane Steichen as the coach of the year a few days ago, but you got to think Kyle Shanahan should be in that consideration. And when they blow the game in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter, then we'll take it all back. But yeah, Mac's done pretty well. You know, 1B to Purdy all season. So I don't think the line should be changing in 3 points to the other side if it's just him, especially the way CMC looked with Kittle back in last week, and the offensive line just looks significantly better. So beat up team, but they're still out coaching and out playing everybody they go against.
Yeah. 100% there. Running backs, Christian McCaffrey's an easy start. If you have to play one between Woody Marks or Chubb, I'm going Woody Marks.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But I'm looking at him as a high end RB3 this week. Like, he isn't I'm trying to force him into my lineup.
Yep. I don't like it at all, but Chubb I'm probably just out on entirely. And I've been also talking for a few weeks about Woody Marks, and it's not like I'm expecting some crazy volume. He's not just going to take over the backfield, but I think most of the time this offense is going to be playing from behind and they're going to need to pass the ball, and that's going to be Woody Marks's role. But he had both red zone rushing attempts last week and scored a touchdown, you know, 35 total yards or something like that. But Chubb had 25% of snaps, and that's not really the way you want to see it for, I believe, a 32-year-old guy who's on, you know, coming off a terrible knee injury. So, like,
he's, you know, 29, by the way.
What, is he 29?
He's, I feel only like 29. He's,
all right, well, I'm sorry, Nick Chubb. I honestly think you're one of the best, most exciting running backs I've ever seen in normal fantasy. But Woody Marks, I think, is the play moving forward on this team.
He's 29, but his knees are 32.
I'm 38, so I would take 32-year-old knees any day.
Nico Collins suffered a concussion Monday night, doubtful going into this game, so I imagine we're not going to see him. If you need a plug and play over there between rookies Jalen Noel, Jaden Higgins, and Xavier Hutchinson, are you looking that direction?
Oh, man, I'm trying to avoid it entirely. Christian Kirk also out. Like, there's nobody who's played more than 7 games outside of Xavier Hutchinson, and you can't really trust him either. So I'd probably play Higgins. He was the early second round draft pick. He would be stepping into that Nico Collins role. But Jalen Noel would be the safety blanket. So I don't know. PPR floor, probably Noel. If you're looking for more upside and touchdowns, it's probably going to be Higgins. But I really don't like any of it.
Yeah, if I'm gun to my head on the other side, it's null for me. Are you playing Jennings and Bourne over all of these wide receivers?
Man, I feel like I'm out on Jennings just because of how injured he secretly is. And Pearsall's not practicing. Bourne, you know, if Mac's playing, he didn't really do much last week, but he's probably the target leader. But I don't know. Kittle's the dude. I don't care about the zero last week. He's probably going to see more targets this week.
Yeah, if I have the most confidence I have on these pass catchers in this game, it's going to be Kittle over all the wide receivers.
Yeah, Houston's got a pretty good secondary. Their defense is definitely the strength of this team. So I don't love any of the pass catchers or really even like any of the pass catchers this week outside of Kittle.
This could be a very similar game that we saw for both these teams. Both of them had really rough outings, you know, San Francisco against Atlanta, Houston against Seattle. I think we could see a very similar game, very low scoring. Who wins it?
I'm going to take – man, I might bet the 49ers if they're underdog by 2, especially how beat up the Texans offense is and all those wide receivers. I might – take a look at that after the game, but
yeah, they're plus money. I like the Niners on this one
on the road, of course, but yeah, I'll maybe take my chances. The coaching is better.
Nice. Speaking of, pass on that joke. Browns 2-5 taking on the 5-2 Patriots in Foxborough. We got a 40.5 point over under. New England's favored by 7. I mean, Drake May is trying to compete for the MVP. If he would just run a little bit more, maybe we could have that argument. But no, he's just, I'm going to throw the ball really accurately and really well. And
look at me.
Yeah. Gosh. No, Drake May's been playing out of his mind. He is an easy start for me.
Yeah. I hate the matchup. And I've kind of alluded to this in previous podcasts, but He has had a nice schedule the past few weeks, so I am very curious to see how this game goes. The Browns defense is significantly better than anything they've seen, whether against like Tennessee last week. But 23.75 team implied total is pretty encouraging home game. So I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball for a moment. So it is going to be entirely a passing game if they're going to score 24 points. So I still am in on May.
Yeah, Browns have an elite run defense. Patriots are up there, though. Like, it's hard to run the ball on the Patriots. If anybody's going to, Quinshon Judkins. Easy play for me.
Yep, Judkins should be in regardless of game script. We've seen it even with Green Bay and some good games. I mean, he's played, what, 4 games now and had 3 RB1 performances out of it? Or maybe even 4 out of 5.
Yeah, it's been RB4, 48, 18, 11, 11. He's been great.
Yeah.
The other side is where the question remains. Ramondre Stevenson, Mr. Drop the Ball himself.
18 for 88 and a touchdown last week. Don't start him this week. He's going to have 1.2 yards per carry, and he's not going to be able to do anything.
The hard thing, like, I have him ranked in my top 24. He is the 24th running back in my rankings, but like, I don't know who I'm sitting. Like, would you play Bill or Ramondre?
Probably, I guess, Ramondre. I don't know.
Algier or Ramondre? Like back
to Algier.
Woody Marks or Ramondre?
Probably Woody Marks, honestly.
Kyle Manungai.
Probably Ramondre.
Look, you're hoping that Drake May tosses the rock deep and the wide receiver goes down on the 5. I think this is the only way that
Ramondre. And that's happened a bunch of times this season. So it could certainly happen.
Diggs and Booty, I'm starting them both.
Yeah, Diggs has been top 24 3 of the past 4 weeks. Booty's a solid flex. You're just going to have some disappearing acts, but he's been great.
Yeah. He the other side, like Judy, interested?
No. I don't know how they're going to play him, you know, with Christian Gonzalez on the other side. I doubt he's going to be covering him in the slot, but I don't think Judy's seen over 45 yards in any game since Gabriel came in. Like, he's got the highest target share, but it's very, very low. So probably looking for more upside than a nice 3 to 4 point floor.
Judy, still no touchdown this year. 66 in week 1 is the highest that he scored. Yeah. I play Fannin over Judy.
Fannin.
National tight end week? Yeah.
Yeah, Fannin, solid streaming option. If Njoku's in, though, I'm probably far more hesitant. You just don't really know how that's going to go. But if Njoku's out, then I'm interested in Fannin. And Henry, terrible matchup. Leads the team in red zone targets. Cleveland's pretty good against the tight end. So I'm probably trying to find something higher. It just doesn't feel like one of his spike weeks. But tight end is a very volatile, touchdown-heavy position. So you just never really know how that's going to fall.
Give me the Patriots. Who you taking?
Patriots.
Yeah, he's a fan, folks. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, I've been saying that for the whole time the past 5 years. I've lost all of my money.
Next up, we've got a rematch from just a couple weeks ago. 2-5 Giants going to Philly, taking on the 5-2 Eagles. 43.5 point over under. Philly's favored by 7.5 points. Jackson Dart, you have to keep playing him. Like, you just got to put him back in there.
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of my sanity and podcasting career, I hope that the Eagles win this game and shut them down, because I've been saying for several weeks, like, trade them away, get rid of them. You're not going to start them in this gauntlet of Eagles, Denver, Eagles again. And I think it's 2 QB3 performances in a row. So
yep,
making me eat my words on, we'll say, national television. Yeah, so he's got to be in there. He's got to be in consideration. It's just the rushing upside, because he's 28th in accurate throw rate, 14th in catchable targets, 5th in points per drop back. Like, kind of similar to what we're saying with Breece Hall, but the opposite. Like, something's got to give. He's got to step back a little bit in efficiency, but it's fantasy football. It's not real football. So the rushing upside just keeps you in contention all that time.
Yeah, Jalen Carter should be playing in this game. It's harder to run on Philly, but they do let up a lot of rushing yards to the quarterback, so that should be what saves his day. I got a fun question for you. We're starting both these running backs. You're in an 8-team league. Are you playing Scadabo or are you playing Barkley?
I'm playing Barkley. I would struggle to ever sit Barkley, but I also have the mentality in these situations where I'm like, if I sat Barkley and he went off, then I couldn't really live with myself or look myself in the mirror for the next week. But if I started, yeah, I don't know. If I'm wrong about Barkley, so be it. You spent the draft capital. You got him in the first three picks. Like, it's very difficult for me to sit those guys ever.
16.5 points, highest he's hit all season. It's absolutely wild. Yeah, but you're starting both these players.
You know, they're both Scabu, in.
Barkley, both of them in. Getting down to the wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. Again, it's hard to sit those guys, especially after what they did last week.
Yeah. I like Devonta a little more this week. I think they're going to play a lot of too high, and Devonta is Giants have given up seventh most points to slot receivers, so I expect him to see more. Or Goddard will eat it all, and Devonta will do nothing.
Unfortunately, National Tight End Week. Woo. Not excited for that one.
Yeah.
On the other side, we've got Wandale. Darius Slayton should be back for this one. Theo Johnson, Daniel Bellinger. If you had to start one of them, who are you starting?
Probably Wandale. He's got the highest target share by far. Theo's been scoring some touchdowns. He's probably the red zone dude, but, you know, very fluky touchdown last week.
Yeah, Wandale last 2 weeks, 95 yards, 84 yards. Some of the highest numbers of his career. Like, this is not a yard guy by any far. Means.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm willing to put him back out there. Theo Johnson. Like, would you do Hunter Henry or Theo Johnson?
Maybe Henry. He's been a tight end 12 like for three straight years.
If Njoku plays, are you doing Fannin or Theo Johnson?
I would take, if Njoku's in, probably Theo.
I might too. I might too. I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel good about any of that. Hopefully those aren't the decisions you're making.
Philly's favored by 7.5. They should win this game by 14 to 17 points.
I feel like all these teams that we're talking about, where it's Baltimore, Buffalo, Eagles, they've just been underperforming. They all have chances to just come out and like build some momentum for the rest of the season. And I kind of expect that to happen because that happens every year. Like these teams that are good but are underperforming for little periods of time, they get this bounce back game where they've got a team that they should stomp and then they do, and then things turn around. And I kind of feel like all three of these games, I wouldn't be surprised to see it kind of play out that way.
Kind of right the ship as we're getting into the midseason. All right, next up, another divisional game. We've got the 5-2 Buccaneers playing the 1-6 Saints. In the Big Easy, it's a 46.5 point over under. Tampa Bay's favored by 4.5 in this one. I mean, as far as quarterbacks go, Baker Mayfield's an easy start. Spencer Rattler, he's an easy sit.
Nice. I thought you were going to say start there, so I actually got caught off guard. You said it so quickly. Yeah, completely agree. And then to the running backs?
To the running backs! I'll take Rashad White. Easy start, folks. Put him in your lineup. You take Alvin.
I kind of like Kamara and DFS this week. Kendra Miller's out for the year. Maybe we'll see a little more Devin Neal, but you keep wanting to be like, oh, the game script works in his favor. He's a really good receiving back, but they just aren't throwing him the ball. But I don't hate it. I wouldn't be shocked if he came out and had a decent game this week. I just don't know why they're not getting him the ball.
Looks like they're going to have to. You know, we lost Kendra Miller, like you said, for the year. Alvin Kamara, we just need more targets. Only three targets this past week. If we can get back to that 5-6 that he was having.
Yeah, we're not expecting him to have an elite rushing load. Like, the Saints' offensive line is terrible. And it has been for years, though. And he still outperformed that because of his receiving abilities. And we've got Kellen Moore there, who probably the best offensive mind that he's had in all this time. So it's really shocking to see the way they're using him. But you're going to take away 6 to 8 touches from Kendra. They're probably all going to go to Kamara. So I don't hate the play. It's not like Bucks defense is scary by any means. So I kind of like it in DFS. I feel like he's pretty cheap this week and might have a safe floor if he can get back to that 5 or 6 target range.
Mecca Buka, another week away from the hamstring injury, going to play him. Chris Olave with the career day last week. Got to put him back in my lineup. Question I think really comes here to the Tez Johnson, the Rashid Shaheed. You're picking out of the two, who would you go with?
I'd probably go Tez. He just feels a little higher floor, but still seeing the end zone targets. Shahid is like that Deshaun Jackson light. He's either going to have one touchdown or one catch for 70 yards and a touchdown, or he's just going to be gone. And Juwan Johnson was more involved last week. So I think he's a reasonable I think both of him and K-Dotton are kind of that fringe tight end one range. If you're streaming this week because of the buys, I think they both are probably going to see 18-20% target share.
Yeah, I'm team K-Dotton. K-Dotton unsexy, but this week I feel pretty good. Bipocalypse, national tight end week.
Mike Evans is out again.
Yeah, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. It's bad over there. So yeah, I'm willing to play him. Tez Johnson, if you're in a pickle, I'm willing to put him out there as well.
Oh, this is a good one.
Who wins it?
Tampa.
Tampa.
When are we going to see Tyler Shuck? What is the point of this? How many games can we lose before we're like, all right, let's just see what we have here. And do we need to go draft another guy next year? Or is the goal just to lose? And they're like, Shuck might win us a couple games there. And then we need that draft pick for an actual quarterback. But then why did you even take him?
Fully guaranteed contract. I mean, that's the new trending thing for second round picks.
Yeah, but I think he was like the first one that did that. And then it just like all kind of spiraled after that.
You took him in the top eight, top six of the second. Like it was right there at the very beginning. So they're in contention to take a quarterback at the very beginning next year. You need to know what you have in him, whether you keep him or not. You got trade capital if he comes out there and does something and you go draft a guy. Like, yeah. It makes no freaking sense. Another GM that needs to be fired.
Dude, that guy has been around for like 25 years and all he does is just continue extensions. Very loyal guy, I'll give him that. But he has no interest in doing anything more than middling at best. And he's like completely content.
Him and the Dolphins GM, like, get out of town. Yeah. Get out. Folks, I don't care if I'm saying a guy should lose his job. They make plenty of money. He's
fine. At least the Dolphins GM like recognized a little window and he was like, let's just go for it. And he went after some big name guys and tried and it didn't work and it's fine. But the Saints have just been extending players for no reason. And
Kamara's going to be on the roster for like three more years.
Taysom Hill is going to die in the Saints uniform. He's still under the Sean Payton contract. How long has it been since Sean Payton has been there?
He's retired and come back. Like, what in the world? They traded a fourth round pick for a 27-year-old Devon Vele. Like, what?
Yeah, that was a weird one. That one made no sense.
Dumb. All right, let's get to this game. Speaking of Sean Payton. 3-3-1 Cowboys going to Denver, taking on the 5-2 Broncos in this 50.5 point over under. Let's go. Denver's favored by 3.5 in this one. I like both quarterbacks. Like this should be a shootout.
Yeah, this game is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Dak, you're 100% starting. Nick's, I think you're probably starting him as well, but I'd have Dak a bit ahead of him.
I agree with that.
But Nick's, again, has a rushing upside. I also just want Denver to fail. I just hate Sean Payton. And even, did you see him come out and just take a shot at Russell Wilson for no reason this week? It's just like, dude, just leave it alone. Everyone knows. Anyway.
I mean, they paid him a lot of money. I feel like he deserves to take a few shots. You know, come on.
He didn't pay him anything. He left the Saints high and dry, retired, and then came back to a better situation. When Drew
paying Russ.
Well, Payton didn't pay him anything. Like he.
I guess they had what's his name? He was so bad. We don't remember his name.
The Osweiler.
No. I was thinking the coach they had, the one from Green Bay that they had
Hackett.
Hackett. Yeah, the Hack, that guy.
Yep. Anyway,
Cowboys. Start them all. A couple of running backs in this game. Everybody thought they were toast coming into this year. J.K. Dobbins, Javonte Williams. They're putting out great numbers. So both these guys need to be started.
Not everybody. I would say there's some specific people on this podcast who spoke about both of these guys, specifically Dobbins, coming into the season. But the only thing that's stopping Dobbins is that Sean Payton refuses to run the ball inside the 5-yard line. It is just 100% pass plays, and it's either like a bobbled touchdown or an interception. But Dobbins is heavily out touching Harvey at this point. Harvey had 5 touches, 2 yards last week, 1 goal line reception for a touchdown. But until you see that shift. I mean, maybe they're losing in this game and Harvey sees more receiving work, but Dobbins is seeing 12 plus touches every week.
Yeah, only one touchdown in the last 4 weeks for Dobbins after starting three straight games with a touchdown.
But they were giving him the ball in the red zone at that point, and they just refused to do it now, and I'll never understand it.
I don't know if it's a confidence booster for Bo Nix. I have no idea.
I think it is. I think it's just Sean Payton trying to be like, look, everyone, I'm so smart.
I didn't reach on three players, Bo Nix, RJ Harvey, and Pat Bryant. No, no, we didn't reach on all those guys.
Right.
CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Cortland Sutton. Really, all three of these guys are easy starts. I think the real discussion comes, are you willing to throw out Marvin Mims or Troy Franklin this week?
Yeah. I have a note. Franklin and Mims, no one's ever seen them in the same room. Franklin seems to be getting more playing time. They're both flex plays.
I think I'd play Franklin over Juwan Jennings and Kendrick Bourne this week.
Yeah, I think I'd be comfortable with that too. I'd have Franklin slightly ahead of Mims.
I think so too. One of these guys is going to have a deep ball. You can throw over the top on Dallas like none other. So somebody's going to come away with one. It's just, do you pick the right one?
Yeah, if you're looking for upside, then this is, you know, you're looking at your opposing roster and you're like, I need a ceiling game here. These are kind of the guys that you want to shoot for in a game that's projected to be really high scoring. Both teams are going to be airing it out. So,
yeah, Ferguson's been putrid as far as the yards are concerned, but the targets and the touchdowns are there. Tight end week, you're playing them.
Yeah.
Really. Evan Engram. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it because it's this week. 8 targets, 6 targets, 6 targets, 7 targets. You can do worse.
Yep, I agree. I mean, super talented. We know that. He just isn't giving you the fantasy output that you drafted him at.
Who wins it?
I'm going to say the Broncos at home. I hope the Cowboys, but I'm going to take the Broncos at home. Nice. I like it. But I just think the Cowboys defense is so miserable. Like, as a full team, the Broncos are the better team, more talented, less injuries. They can stop something on defense, even if they have a little bit underperformed. But I think if it wasn't at Mile High, if it was in Dallas, I'd be a little more okay leaning the Dallas side. But I feel like Dallas on the road just feels weird.
This feels like one that it's whoever scores last is going to win it. And I trust the Cowboys. I mean, Denver's definitely has the better defense, but I think Cowboys by far has the better offense.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree on that.
Going on to our next one. Oh, buddy. Yeah,
the highest and lowest team implied totals this week.
Yeah, this one's ugly. The 1-6 Titans take on the 6-1 Colts. Yeah, buddy. 47 points is the over-under, and he's favored by 14.5. This one's real easy. You're starting Daniel Jones. Starting JT, like, who are you starting for the Titans? I think Okonkwo might actually be the first one I look at here on the Titans.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if you just need to start a running back, then you're probably playing Pollard, but it's not ideal. And out on Ward, Ridley's not practicing, or at least as of yesterday, I didn't see today, but A.M. Manor, 50 yards. Only once the season has disappeared the last few weeks after some of that initial season hype. So he's probably going to see some targets, but he's a desperate flex. So I don't like anybody on the Titans side.
I'd be willing to bet he catches a 30-plus yard pass. I'd take Ward over on his longest pass. You can throw over the top on the Colts, but I don't want to play any of these pieces. JT I'm playing, Michael Pittman I'm playing. And I think either Josh Downs or Alec Pierce will have a decent day, but it's a crapshoot at that point.
Yeah, I definitely lean Downs. I feel Pittman was wide receiver 13-ish last time they played. Titans have really struggled against perimeter receivers and kind of those big guys like Pittman and Cortland Sutton. So he was a beast, but they just might not need to throw that much. So I'm going to lean Downs, just kind of that safety blanket.
Yeah, 6 catches Pierce. In the last 2 games.
He's been pretty good. But I don't think they're going to need him that way.
No, I don't think so either. And then Tyler Warren, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Incoming. You're definitely playing him. Who are you picking? Come on. Who are you picking?
Come on. Tennessee.
No, shut it.
No.
Colts and like 14.5, it's a lot. It's a lot of points in a divisional game.
Yeah, if I were betting with the spread, I would maybe take Tennessee just because these division games often kind of go this way when there's a heavy favorite, but I don't think they have any chance of winning the game. Poor Cam Ward.
I know, like, better days should be ahead, but it's rough. This one's juicy. This one's exciting. It's a revenge game. Finally, we get to see Packers 4-1-1 taking on the 4-2 Steelers in the Steel City. 45.5-point over under. Green Bay's favored by 3. Aaron Rodgers, you finally get to play your old team. I got Jordan Love right around QB 10. Rodgers is like QB 15. So, like, I'm not excited to play either one of these guys. I think Aaron Rodgers has a chance to walk away with 4 touchdowns. Arthur Smith gets down there to 5, and he just wants to throw it just to give Rodgers that satisfaction. But
just Darnell Washington just standing in the middle with a bunch of guys like holding on to his legs as he just lifts up everybody around him.
We saw 3 touchdowns of the tight end. Each 3 different tight ends for the Steelers last week scored. So I don't think it's out of the world realm of possibilities.
I'm definitely starting Love above Rodgers. I actually am kind of buying back into the Packers passing game this week. I like Dobbs a lot. And I think Love is kind of Pittsburgh's got the most passing yards per game allowed this season. So they should be able to move the ball a little more efficiently than they have been the last few weeks. And I kind of wanted to mention Love as a little bit of a buy low because we got Christian Watson and Jaden Reed kind of ramping up over the next few weeks. Brian is like, can't even beside himself on the screen because I mentioned Christian Watson's name, but those two guys are going to open up this passing game significantly. And then you got Matthew Golden as like your 3-4. Dobbs has looked good. Tucker Kraft is amazing. So this team is primed to put some stuff together and become a pretty dominant force down the stretch.
Rank these wide receivers for me: Metcalf, Dobbs, Golden, Calvin Austin.
I think you just did it for me. Metcalf, I mean, I kind of want to put Dobbs above Metcalf, but just for the sake of talent, I would put Metcalf, Dobbs, Golden, Calvin Austin.
I, for whatever reason, am trying to find Calvin Austin in some of my leagues. It's a rough play, depending on, you know, bike apocalypse, injuries, all that fun stuff. But I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's got a little inkling there. Little DFS guy. Maybe that's DK Turney. Yeah.
I think his over-under is like 23.5 yards, so nothing pretty.
I mean, it's just one catch for him, though. That's a normal, like, kind of stat line.
Yeah. Christian Watson, though, we're not playing him. If you picked him up over the last couple weeks, stashed him in your IR coming off the pup, I think it's great. But I really want to see what happens here. I think there's a chance we might get fantasy viable days from him because they need some sort of spark on this offense. They need something else. Josh Jacobs is banged up, back-to-back games with 2 touchdowns. But if Christian Watson, it usually takes sometimes up to a month to ramp up these guys from these ACL injuries. So we're going to have to watch it a couple of weeks. But he might be the spark that they need. You know, if there's enough talent around, he doesn't have to depend on him and he doesn't get injured. But I will say, last year he didn't have the soft tissue injuries that he traditionally has. Towards ACL, it's completely different than the hamstring issues that he had before. So I hope those days are gone. Christian Watson, somebody to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, and then Jaden Reed too, kind of probably a good time to stash him. But it's just difficult to predict week to week with this team. It's just going to make it a little more convoluted. But this week I do like Dobbs the most. He's getting all the red zone looks. Warren, what are you doing with Jalen Warren.
Oh, I'm playing him. Easily playing him. I'm liking the way they're using him.
I don't like the matchup at all, but he's in.
Yeah.
And then which tight end are you starting with confidence for the Steelers?
I'm not. I think I'd put in Chigakonkwo before I put in a Pittsburgh tight end.
I mean, Jonnu just gets those designed looks at the in the red zone because Arthur Smith can't get enough of him. I don't know what it is about Jonnu Smith that Arthur can't get enough of, but Freiermuth is the best one.
Yeah.
But he won't be used the way he's supposed to. Freiermuth is the new Kyle Pitts, which is funny because they were drafted in the same season and like pretty close. Freiermuth would have been the number one tight end in a lot of different seasons before that if it hadn't been Kyle Pitts. And yeah, for whatever reason, I feel like Arthur Smith is just on this tour to take out every tight end from that like 2020 draft class or whatever it was. He's just going out and being like, none of you will be relevant again. We'll have to see who's the third tight end drafted that year because that'll be
the rumors. About him possibly going to Tennessee to be the head coach there?
Oh, that would be perfect. Yeah, fire Mike Vrabel. Let's bring Arthur Smith back. That's brilliant.
It would be too comical. Who wins it?
I'm going to go Packers.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
Nice.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
I'm one share owner of the Packers, so I got to support my boys.
I gotcha. Packers, since week one, they have not looked like the team that we saw in week one.
Yeah,
the offense just isn't legit enough.
Yeah, but bring back Jaden Reed and Christian Watson, and that is going to be a dynamic team.
100%. Let's go to our Monday night game, our single Monday night game.
When can we start flexing these games and switching this up a bit? Because this one is going to be boring.
I mean, up until the hamstring pull, this one should have been better.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
We have the 3-4 Commanders taking on the 4-3 Chiefs. Yes, the same record that I said with the Panthers right there. 48-point over under. Kansas City's favored by 12.5. No Jaden Daniels in this game. But I'm willing to start both quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, tried and true all season long. And Marcus Mariota, I think he's had one dud game that he's filled in for Jaden Daniels over the last 2 years. So give me that rushing upside. And his weapons are back.
Well, I will happily trade you some Mariota in some of these dynasty leagues that I've just been stashing him. But yeah, I'm out on Mariota. I just don't think they have the weapons this week. And we just watched the Chiefs, the defense just steamroll the Raiders. And I think it's going to look like that again, especially if McLaurin and Debo are out. You know, you're passing to kind of some. I don't want to be too mean, but some backup tight end or backup players here. I think Zach Ertz is really the only one I'm interested in on the offense.
I'm actually not.
I'm not that interested in, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm going to talk about anybody here, like, who are you going to take? Chris Moore?
Well, no, Terry McLaurin and Debo both had a full practice on Thursday, so it looks like we would get both those guys.
Okay. Well, that does change things, and I apologize because I feel like yesterday that news was way worse.
Yeah, it was. These running backs, talk about worse. Bill, Pacheco, Hunt, Breshard Smith. I think Breshard Smith is the top of the list for me.
Yeah, Pacheco is going to be the starter. Breshard Smith did a lot of his stuff in garbage time last week, but I also feel like that could be the exact same situation this week. And I mean, they're not going to need a passing game with him heavily involved. They're not going to be playing from behind. So it's just going to be, do they want to get the rookie some playing time? Yeah. I don't think Hunt is just out of the question yet, but I think in a more relevant game, they might be kind of resting him a little bit as the season goes on, but none of them I like. And you can go back before the season, I said, stay away from this backfield entirely because it's going to be 3 to 4 guys all averaging 40 yards a game, and you have no idea which one's going to score a touchdown. So,
yeah, nothing but landmines. If you have to play Kroski Merritt because of how bad it is, I understand that. But, like, I think I'd rather take my shot with Owee Marks, Breshard Smith. Tyler Algier might actually have the game script that fits way better than Kroski
Merritt. Probably play Algier over all these guys, but I don't hate Pacheco, Smith. I'm not playing Hunt at all just after watching last week. So all those guys are in flex consideration, but don't be surprised at the 2 out of 3 that do absolutely nothing.
Let's play the game. Debo and McLaurin after full practice that they're in. You've got those two on one side. You've got Rice and Worthy on the other. Rank them for me.
Rice. Worthy's just so difficult. But we're going PPR. I'm going to say Rice, McLaurin, Debo, Worthy. But Worthy could just have that, like, complete blow-up situation where he just takes one of those little, like, shuffle passes and just runs down the sideline for a 60-yard touchdown. They just might not need him in this game. If they're able to shut down the offense, I think they'll focus more on controlling the clock and just running straight down their throat.
I think it's going to be Rice, Debo, Worthy, McLaurin for me. For whatever reason, McLaurin scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, we just haven't seen him this year. So I think if they're playing, then all of them are probably in your lineups. I don't see any of them being outside of flex-worthy consideration.
Yeah, even if Washington is out of this game quickly, Mariota's pretty good in garbage time. He likes to go make stuff happen, so I don't hate that. Zach Ertz, for whatever reason, Mariota just doesn't look that way. The two games where they played earlier in the season, those were Zach Ertz's worst two games. So I'm fading both these tight ends. Like, I don't want to play Kelce either.
Yeah, you just see this over the past few years where they just choose not to use Kelce at all in these games where they feel like they don't need him for a win. And he's just out there as a decoy and he's just setting little, you know, his little like butt pick in the middle of the field. And he's blocking and he'll just see like one target and he'll just fall down after it. So it feels like one of those games to me. And yeah, they try to keep him healthy and ready to go for a playoff run. And that feels the same to me. I'd probably go Ertz over Kelce, just, but it's like a weird gut thing.
Yeah, it's gross. He was 3 for 54 and it was a busted play. It was busted play that got
really
him there.
One like 40-yard catch.
Yeah, I'd play Otten over him. I'd play Andrews. If Njoku's not in, I'd play Fannin over him. I might even play Chigakonkwo over him just because, I don't know.
You love Chig.
I'm loving him this week for whatever reason. I think it's just going against the Colts. I still have a little bit of doubt against my boy, so I think that's where it is.
Yeah, you're just trying to set yourself up for success, so if you're let down later.
There we go. I bet on Brady my entire life. I can't stand the man, but I always bet against him in the Super Bowl because I always won. 12.5 points. Kansas City get it?
I think so, at home. I feel like it's not going to look like last week, but Commander's defense is not good. And
no,
the Chiefs look healthy, and the momentum is in their favor. They look really good right now.
Yeah, Rice, I mean, it was like an 8 out of like less than 2 yards last week. So I want to see him get a little bit more developed, stretch him out a bit more. Yeah. But I think this team needs to start getting some statement games down.
If people in your league are like, well, Rashee Rice is the only person who's going to catch a pass for the Chiefs for the rest of the season, then go buy everybody else. Like,
yeah.
I just bought Xavier Worthy yesterday in a dynasty league, and I am all for it because he is still a top 22, whatever they traded up for him, draft pick. He's going to see, you know, he's going to be more electric Jameson Williams. So he's going to disappear a little bit. But the way they used him in the second half of the season last year into the Super Bowl was not just like some field stretcher. He wasn't running wind sprints the entire time. He was being used all over the field, super dynamic, fastest player on the field at any moment. So if somebody's just like out on him for any reason, then go buy him because he is could be a league winner.
And he's got 22 games under his belt with a Kansas City offense that was still trying to figure out what they were doing. The team's finally fully healthy. They've got two field stretchers. They've got Rice underneath. Kelsey's there too. So yeah, I like Worthy going forward.
Having Rice, you know, you can't buy Rice right now, but you can probably buy Worthy. And people are concerned because Rice is just going to open up the field for Worthy. Having Kelce and Rice underneath forces teams to come up. And that's when Worthy can actually get over the top. The Chiefs historically don't use their young receivers. They did that with Rashee Rice too. He didn't really play much at all until the second half of the season. And even though statistically everyone was screaming like, why is Rashee Rice not on the field? They just refused to put him out there until they did. And they were really forced into that last year with Worthy. But I mean, we've seen it. We've seen that big play upside. We've seen him be consistent. We've seen a decent floor. And for everyone who's like excited about the Chiefs offense moving forward, why would you not be excited about the wide receiver too, who's like maybe the most electric player in the league right now? Like, so if people are down on him, like I found somebody in the league yesterday. So if people are down on him, then go buy, because he's going to have some huge weeks.
Give me the Chiefs and the points. I like them taking care of business.
Yeah.
Nice. We got three more. No, we don't, folks. That's it. We're done. Bye weeks.
Same amount of time, too.
Wow, that's wild. That's wild. Absolutely wild. Folks, if you have any more questions for us, you know, hit us up in the questions if you listen over there on Spotify. Leave us a review if you feel so inclined. Nick, where can the people find you?
You can find me here. We'll see you next week. Mario will be back, so maybe I'll try to make a guest appearance. But we're here every Monday for the recaps, and then I also write for the Fantasy Footballers.
Checking us out there. If you're looking for more articles from us, it's going to be all over the QBList.com, whether it be what we saw, the start sits that you get from Jay, or any of the streaming articles, the buy lows, the sell articles. We've got so many great ones over there, so make sure you're checking those out. Again, leave us a review, and we'll see y'all next time.